Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life.
I'm glad to be here. Who gets the Western Horseman? Who's seen two gray horses that the church owns in the Western Horseman? Did you guys see that? Some photographer named Bo Hegg has a picture of two pretty cool horses with Marshall Dillon. And it just happens to be a little bitty picture in the Western Horseman on page 8 and 9. I opened it up and was reading it and said, Alyssa, at least read this. And it was pretty cool. So it's pretty neat how it doesn't talk about God one bit, but our church's horses, our horses are in the Western Horseman. And how many people, like, it was a shocker to me, but people read that and they know, hey, who's this joker, Bo Hegg? And then they get to reading about it, and it's pretty cool. And then they can learn about that and get on the website or whatnot, and it was pretty neat. So that has nothing to do with my sermon this morning, but it was pretty cool. And this is out somewhere around Canadian, and there's a little bit of green underneath the horses, outside the wagon. There's green in the picture, so that's pretty cool. I'm going to get back to this. Don't really have a title. Don't have any rifleman trivia today. I apologize. I do, but I'm not going to pull it out today. My sermon kind of comes from sitting at the cud horse sale. And Bo chuckles. But I got to, who was at the cud horse sale? Not very many people. I was a seller, so I understand there wasn't very many people there. Actually, it has nothing to do with the sale of horses. But to set up the cud sale, I don't like horse sales at all, but I like going to the cud sale. I feel like it's an honest sale. There's some good horses. Renee puts her work into it. And what's neat is we're going to talk about it, but to give you a visual of the cud sale, if you turn, you walk into it, first of all, you drive into a place and you feel like you kind of go into Colorado maybe. There's a big log cabin, and you go through just a kind of residential area and hit a little church. It's nothing special. You can see it every day anywhere in the neighborhood. You hit cud quarter horses, and it's got her brand on a rock, and then you see this big, huge log cabin, and you're like, whoa. And my dad, this is a perspective coming from my dad, because you kind of take things for granted when you get there. You drive in there and you're like, where am I at? You feel like you're like outside of town and you just left like kids playing on a cul-de-sac type of feeling. You pull in and you start seeing these horses and then you kind of get that feel of, all right, I'm at the sale. And then you see this big red barn and off to the west side of that's all the stalls. But when you walk into the big red barn, there's a little bitty cell ring with two ropes around it. So if your horses are very wild, you're going to put on a pretty good show in the crowd. The crowd wraps around it, and the cell ring's not very big. Maybe the size of the little counter up here. And then up above it, it sets the auctioneer right here, and Renee's to the right of the auctioneer. I sat down with him, and we were running through horses, and he's like, why are some horses selling for way high, and why are some horses people can't get a bid for? And I was like, I don't know. But what I kept... In between horses, I kept sitting there and I kept getting the visual. And I want you to use your imagination today. And I'm a simple fella, and I'm going to bring you a simple message. But there's a bit, I kind of kept getting the picture of Renee did her work. Renee raises her horses. She does her bloodline. She puts it on the radio. She invites people. She gets buyers. She has the best auctioneer she can have there. The people that are there, what sets her trainers aside from anybody else? What did they wear? They wore some funny looking hats. They wore bow ties, white shirt, jeans rolled up. There was no question if it was a Renee Cudd trainer or not, right? Not making fun of them. They were different. And my dad actually, when Renee's trainers rode in on a horse, you knew it was a Cudd horse. Not from just the brand on the side or the sell book, but you knew from looking at the trainer it was a Cudd horse. And my dad's like, go get that guy to ride your horse in. It'll bring more. And I didn't. but I should have. But the picture I want to set up today is you walk into a cell ring. You've got the auctioneer and you've got Renee Cudd to the right. What's, start bringing any other pictures to you on a biblical standpoint. We've got God and Jesus sitting on the right. And one thing that Renee did with every one of her horses, if it was a two-year-old, a three-year-old, no matter what, or a broodmare, she said, I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee it sound. If you don't like it, I'll guarantee it. You bring it back and I'll give you your money back. And I don't know if it's Renee's doing or her horse is doing, but it's smart. You don't, like in the back of the barn in the cell ring, no matter what, the guys with the different style hats, the white starched shirts, the bow ties, are Renee Cudd's trainers. No one else there looks like Renee's trainers. And they're good. They do a good job at what they do. And Renee puts on a phenomenal sale. Also, when Renee's horses ride in, she has notes on every horse. There was a couple horses that wanted to hump up and looked like they were going to buck, and the trainers were able to talk them out of it and show them well. But Renee's like this. One of them in particular said, Renee said, this horse hasn't had a bad day in his life. The atmosphere and whatnot was causing it to be a little buggy, but Renee's like, I'll guarantee him. You take him home. If he bucks you off or whatnot, bring him back. He's mine. I promise you he's good. She had her brand on it. She had her guarantee, and she had him in her sale barn. To kind of start making that transition to where we need to be as Christians is her trainers were set aside. Her horses had, I'm going to call it the Circle C, whatever her brand is called, on the hip. So you could go by, and the stalls, there's a stall with the breeding, the papers, the sire, the dam, all that in there, and who owns it. But you can go see a cut horse, and you can look in the stalls, and they're in the same barn with every one of the horses I brought and every one of every other horses, 160-some or something that sold that day. But you can identify a cut horse by their brand, by the guy riding them, and by Renee's notes and her, she's proud of them. The only deal that Renee couldn't control that we have assurance of with God is when they went in the cell ring, she wasn't in control of how much they brought. They could have brought 1,500, they could have brought 500, they could have brought 3,000, 10,000, and they brought anywhere from a few pennies to 10,000, 15,000, just depending on the breeding and that type of stuff. And that's something I really enjoy, is getting the book before the sale and looking through and circling the horses I want from brood mares and what they're bred to. And I hide it from my wife so she doesn't know I'm thinking that I'm buying something or this or that. Because the only year she told me not to buy anything and don't take a checkbook, I brought a horse home. But that's the fun stuff. We look at the breeding, we look at the color, we look at where they come from, all that. The cool thing to make the transition from Renee's sale, and it's fun, and if you've never been to the Cudd sale, it's third weekend of July every year here in Woodward, and it's pretty cool. Or just if you get on the website, you can see her barn, and she set her niche aside in the horse industry. What we have, and I want you to think about today, is we've got God, and when the gavel drops and the auctioneer says, sold, we don't have to worry about how much we've been sold for, how much we've been bought for, what our job is. All we have to worry about is being heaven bound. And all we have to do is turn out of that auction ring, look at the right gate, and go to our stall. God's got it taken care of. We don't have to worry about what gate, what direction, anything. The little two-year-old I rode through, all she needed to worry about for her life at this point is I'm going to point her nose in which direction she needs to go and she needs to go. If it's up a hill, down a hill, through the cell ring, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to get back to that little horse. But with God, we don't have to worry about, do we have a PO? Were we not going to no sell because we didn't bring enough? Or am I out of Pepto Boonsma? Or am I out of a horse that Heather's riding called Coach's Boon? Or are we out of a Gold Seeker? Or are we out of this or that? Or a Tanqueray Gin? There was a really pretty gray mare that rode through, and the guy didn't sell her. He said, she's worth more than this. And that's where it started sinking in, and my wheels started thinking, you know what? We don't have to worry about working our tails off, getting to the gavel dropping, and God saying, you didn't do enough. Or us saying, I'm worth more than that. That's where we get in trouble. And there was a few people that sold their horses, and they were upset, and they made comments going out of the sale that it should have brought more, and they were griping about Renee. And the deal that's perspective is, Renee didn't ask us to come sell horses at her sale. We consigned into her sale, and she made a good sale. It was our choice if we put enough prep into our horses and that type of stuff. But with God, if you'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, and I'm going to jump back and read a little more. But in verse 19, it says, the Lord knows those who are his. And we hit ranch rodeos throughout the year. And the last time I was here was right after our ranch rodeo. And I talked about the rifleman and cow milking. No matter if we're at a ranch rodeo or if we're at a horse sale or whatnot, God knows if we're his or not. God knows if we're fooling. God knows if we're honest. And to get to that, back to that, we've just got to decide all we have to do. The only part of being a Christian and being in God's string of horses that I'm going to talk about in just a second is if we're going to drop our nose and put it in the halter or not. Because no matter how good we ride, if you can't catch the horse, he doesn't do us any good. And that's where I was actually going through the Western Horseman. And I don't read much, but every Western Horseman talks about some ranch. If it's a 4-6s, if it's Haythorn, if it's whatever ranch locally or far away, each cowboy's got a string of horses. And I know the Haythorns, they raise hundreds of horses, and each cowboy runs 6 to 15 horses. And to make that string of horses out of hundreds, they got to be good. They got to be willing to blow to a cow or blow to a bull, but also drop their head. And this little horse Mark owns at Coach's Boone that I was talking about, sir, he's a cool little horse, and he can go 90 miles an hour and spin a whole stop and that type of stuff, but if you throw a kid on him, he can go 4 miles an hour. And that's what a lot of the good cow horses are that way. They know when to go balls to the walls, and they know when to go and wear concrete shoes because they need to take care of you. And we got the chance to go on a trail ride, and talking about strings of horses, and there was 15 of us going on a trail ride, and we rode from Belva just south of Winoka to almost at Alabaster Caverns a few weeks back. And the three of us leading were on 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds. And all the broke horses, all the people that got bucked off were on broke horses. But what I got to see is when we went to start going down the old cow trails in the Jeep Canyons and whatnot, the colts didn't have the bad habits that the older horses had, or were just, we'd been riding the dog out of them. So when we pointed them down, and we rode some trails when we went down, their tail heads drug the dirt because it was rough, but they went. Or if we went up, they went up. All they had to do, they didn't have to think. All they had to do is let us catch them, let us saddle them and ride them. And we pointed their nose and we clicked and they went. Who's all been on a horse? And this, the first night we rode about 18 miles and the guy got bucked off, and luckily his head broke his bounce in the middle of the county road. But the broke horses, that started it, and it just kept snowballing for this guy to where he ended up in the Woodward Hospital for a week with a collapsed lung and one side of his ribs. He wasn't partial to any of them. He broke every one of them because he was out of bad stock, and the owner didn't take care of him, but the horse didn't want to put his nose in the halter at the beginning of the day, and then we picked him up anyway. But my point is, when we'd go down trails, they would start going like this. Been on one of those horses, you try and go, and then they go to this side, and then they go this side. And then before long, you're straddling, and you're looking down, and you can't see much of anything, but you're on both sides of the trail going, oh, no. And you can't jump off because you're on the side of a Jip Canyon. And that's what happened with a lot of these horses. And they've made the string, but if you get to a good cowboy, and God calls us to be A-quality horses on the A-string, those horses don't do that. If I go to the Haythorn up in the Sand Hills, and a cowboy string of horses is going to be good. They're going to be able to rope a bull. They're going to be able to go in the arena and head and heel something. They're going to be good because a cowboy prides himself not only on the brand he rides for, but the horse that's on. Because if we have a horse we can't do a job on and we're riding with the best cowboys, we're worthless. We're not a hand. And that's where God knows who we are. And I want to go back, and you're going to hear me say it again. All we have to do to be a good horse to start with is put our nose in the halter and let God lead us where we're at. And a good horse, I put some qualities in here, is they have the urgency when we need to have the urgency. When the cowboy clicks and he needs to go catch a cow, that cow's there. And he doesn't run by the cow. He goes and he rates, and he puts right there on the hip until you have it caught, dallied, and then you go to stop it. Or whatever you need to do, or drag it in the trailer. And that's where kind of get back to the cell ring, and I'm going to bounce back and forth. When you ride into the cell ring, there's that sense of urgency. It seems like they take 3 seconds and you hear, sold. And then you have to make a decision, no sell or sell, take the paycheck or not. But all we have to do as Christians is take today. Today's sell day. The gavel's going to drop, and it may drop in the middle of the sermon. It may drop 300 years from now. That's the thing we don't know about. But God's going to come back, and he's going to take his string of horses, and he's going to go to heaven. And as long as we're heaven bound, he's going to have whatever we want to imagine. I'm not smart enough to figure out what heaven is, but it may be, I want to have pastures that are knee high of good grass and a log cabin like Renee Cudd's. I'd be all right with that. or a tent, if I'm in heaven either way, but that's kind of what I want. I want a log cabin up there. Don't need air conditioning because it's good weather. But that's all we have to remember is where we're going. But it's, as I talked about, it's raining. Rain brings grass. Grass brings hay. Hay brings feeding. And it's just a constant, and we can get too busy. And ranching, farming, whatever we do never stops. And we can forget about sell day. We can forget about till we hear the gavel drop. And that's, I've been able to sell horses, and it's easy to get caught up in the sell ring and trying to show your horse off that the gavel drops and you don't hear it, or you're not paying attention. Last year I sold a horse and I'd ask someone, what'd you go for? Because I got so caught up in the moment, the gavel dropped and they said sold, that I rode out and it was okay. We can't do that as Christians. We've got to be in the moment, kind of like the cud horses. They're in the same barn as every other horses, but they're separate. And we've got to be in the moment, and we've got to be into today, but we've got to be different. We've got to know what's going on around us. God knows who we are, but he calls us to be different. He calls us to be broke. He calls us to be soft. He calls us to flex. And sometimes we need to stop and go around whatever's in our way. A week or two before we were riding to the cud sale, we were putting about our 10th ride on some of these colts, and we were riding down a little path, and a snake went between my brother-in-law's legs of his front horse. Luckily, they didn't blow. We stopped, and we didn't have anything on us, so we were able to take the head stall off one of our horses, and we killed the snake with the reins and got back on. But the point of that story is those colts stopped. They didn't blow up, and sometimes less is more. And in that situation, the horse's name is Jake the Snake, because as a yearling, he got bit by a snake. So he was familiar with that rattle. And we've got those rattlesnakes. We've got those things in our lives that we've got to just stop. And sometimes some of the horses that sold for the most, they spun them around, they showed them how good they were, and then they set them in the middle of the ring and didn't do a thing and showed them how they could drop their head, they could be soft, and they could be quiet. And that's sometimes, I'm as guilty as that as anybody. I want to go, 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 go. This morning, I was up at 2 o'clock this morning trying to push numbers on hay, trying to figure out how I can get hay the cheapest and make some money or this and that. And sometimes we just got to stop. And I had to take a quote from myself as the other, it's been a week or two ago, my wife came into my office to eat lunch with me, and I said, man, you're wearing me out. Give your mind a break. And she's like, I wish I could. But that's how life is. Life gets us where we're going a million mile an hour, and we got to stop. Ridden those colts that just push through the bit, and when you stop them, they shove up. And there was some of those through the cell or whatnot, but we've got to stop. You go to the Haythorn, and I'm going to keep referring to them. They're string of horses. They're not going to push through the bit. They're going to stop. They're going to slide because they're broke. We've got to be broke. We've got to be, and I want to leave today with that mentality of we've got a white shirt and we've got a bow tie on and we're different. We're not any better than anybody else in the world. We're different. And that's a big difference. We can't walk around with our nose up. We got to walk around with our nose down, supple. And if God calls us to this person, we got to blow to him and not blow past him and stop and spend our time with him or whatever. And Bo's talked a little bit about wasting time. And if we do that, if you look at verse 11 through 13 in 2 Timothy 2, it says, talking about God, if we die with him, he will also live with us. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And basically what that says, stay heaven bound and we're good. No matter what our path is, no matter what we're doing, if we stay heaven-bound, we're good. And if we drop down a little bit farther to verse 15, it says, work hard so that God can approve you. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid godless, foolish discussion that lead to more and more ungodliness. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. Verse down to 18 and 19. Talks about a couple guys and says they've left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred, but they have undermined the faith of some. But God's truth stands like a foundation of stone. The Lord knows those who are His, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from the wickedness. And that's when you're out there, if you're at a horse sale, if you're watching it on RFD TV, if you're on your own horse, we've got to take time to take care of ourselves, just like we've got to take time to take care of our horses. Like I was talking about my friend that got bucked off. And I hate that he got hurt, but we had a long discussion afterwards about that horse's mama tried to kill him, and he hadn't put the time into that three-year-old. And we've got to put the time into us to be able to do the job, if it's going down trail riding, if it's going through a horse show, whatever it is. But the cool thing is, it doesn't matter if you're a Hag, it doesn't matter if you're a Hillman, it doesn't matter what your last name is. It matters how you ride. God doesn't care about our papers. God cares. In our eyes, we might as well be grade horses, mules, ponies. It takes all of us. When we get to the cell ring for God, He's sitting up there and His gavel is, all Jesus has to say, He's mine. He's one of ours. We're in. It don't matter. And I like to raise color, and I like to look at papers, and I like to look at the Quarter Horse News and the Western Horseman. That's fun. God says that's a bunch of junk. All we have to do is put our nose in the halter and go. And I was watching some RFD TV on some working cow horses, and I had a guy quote 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And basically, the simple version of that is, God uses our weaknesses to do great things in His world. And the guy was talking about the best horse he ever had, and he was trying to train her too much at the World Finals, and he was trying to do too much, and he kept getting knocked off points on the rail work and that type of stuff. And he said, finally, I just had to sit back, toss to the reins, and sit there, and he won. He marked the highest score that horse had ever had. What really caught me is that guy was standing on RFTV, which is the best channel ever, I think. It's got all the educational stuff you need. But he said, I had to follow and just bite the bit, and basically he had to get out of his horse's way and let his strengths were making his horse weak, so he had to let his weaknesses let his horse make him strong. And what we've got to do is say, God, I'm heaven bound. I'm putting my nose in the halter today, and I'm going to go. If it's just to go stay in the halter and stand, or if it's to go do a job, drag calves, whatever it is. I had a lot of kids come through my office and talk about Wes's Longhorns coming down the highway and into the parade. And they thought that was cool. But what helps those Longhorns are going to go anywhere and everywhere without the cowboys and the horses around them. And that's a job in itself. But if we take our horses and we take us, and we let God take our weaknesses and make them strong, that's what we need to do. 2 days before the sale, I had the filly, and she's probably one of the best horses I've started. She ripped her jaw open from here clear on underneath, and it was horrible. And I walked into the sale ring, and I said, this horse ripped her jaw open. I guarantee her sound. But at that point, it didn't happen, but in my mind, you could hear, oh, don't bid on her, she's hurt. Don't bid on her, she's cut. She got bids. I ended up taking her home, and she went to a new home eventually. But what happens is, in our minds, I feel like we've ripped our jaw open, or we've done this, or we've colicked, or we've foundered, or we've thrown a shoe, or we've done this or that, or we don't change leads in the middle of the arena like we need to. Again, God doesn't care about how we ride. He cares if we ride. And all we need to do is stick our nose in the halter and say, God, how am I going to be heaven bound today? And it doesn't matter if you see town or if you don't see town, if you make it to church every Sunday or not. I encourage you to, but it important is you put your nose in God's halter. And He may call you to miss a Sunday or two to be out in the pasture dragging calves and say, you know what? These cowboys need you more than the cell barn does. And stay hooked up. But I want to leave you today. What are our weaknesses that keep us our fears? It's like getting on colts. Sometimes you know some that are going to buck and some that will loosen you up. And like this guy that got hurt, what got him hurt is we were 30 miles into this ride and he thought his colt was loose. He thought his colt was warmed up and should have been. And he just blew in two. And what was happening is he wasn't paying attention and he pulled the reins out of his hands and it hurt him pretty bad. And I don't want to see any of us get hurt. But on the flip side of God taking our weaknesses and making them strong, if we don't let God take our weaknesses and make us strong, Satan will take our weaknesses and kill us. I mean, it talks about like that cancer. And if we don't put our nose in the halter, we can run free in the pasture, but we're going to blow through fences. And Satan's going to do whatever we can to say the grass is greener here, or there's wheat pasture here. And he's going to take us to the places that we shouldn't be. And it talks about essentials. And then those strings of cowboys. And if you've got a string of eight horses, there's going to be a number one horse through number eight horse. But number one horse can't be ridden all the time because it'll get sore. It's going to wear out. So the guys get to be seven and eight. Because if you don't ride seven and eight and bring some 2 and 3 year olds in, you're going to have a string of 20-year-old horses that doesn't work. So no matter where we're at, if we've been a Christian for 30 years or been a Christian starting today, there's a place for us in the cell. And it doesn't matter. The Bible makes clear in a different sermon, if the gavel drops to the gay, if we've been riding in a Christian for 30 years or 2 seconds, God says, he's mine. He's got my brand on it. And when we go through the gates, I can picture that, not only that log cabin in those pastures, but God's got a semen tank full of liquid nitrogen, and he's waiting to drop that freeze brand on us and say, he's mine, and it doesn't go away. And that's cool. And that's what, it's hard for me to understand sometimes when it says, God says he's my son, but I can understand that gavel drop, and I can hear that, and I can understand that horse goes to my pasture. That horse doesn't go to my pasture. I don't know what he is. I want to go to God's pasture, and I want to be that pretty blue roan horse that stands out there and God's proud of. And all we have to do is say, okay. We don't have to go the round pin. We don't have to go anywhere. All we have to say is okay, and then God will take care of the rest. And it doesn't matter if our jaw's cut open. It doesn't matter if we're three-legged. It doesn't matter if we buck 30 miles into the trip. God will take care of us. We're not going to buck God off if we say, I want you. And again, in verse 2 Corinthians, and I want you to go read it, it says, for when I am weak, God's strong, and God calls us to be ready to work. And it doesn't matter if you know how to sharpen a knife, or if you know how to braid lead ropes, or if you know how to start colts, or preach, or talk to people. It doesn't matter where we're at. Probably the best sermons I've been able to preach have been nowhere close to a church or a cell barn, but have been going on a goat trail or somewhere in a saddle, because that's where we're free. And the reason I was able to do that is because God's blessed me with that opportunity. So all we have to do is say, where are we going today? Is it uphill, downhill, around? What? But where are we going? And it doesn't matter how rich or how poor, no matter where we're at, God will bless us if we ask him. And we got to stop worrying and sometimes slow down. And probably one of the best qualities of that two-year-old I rode through was she was quiet. I was able to carry a cooler around on her full of Powerade and do different things. And she wasn't a phenomenal horse. She has the ability to go any direction, but her best quality is she could stand still. I could leave her and she'd be there and I'd come back. And I've actually got pictures I was going to show today, but she was quiet enough. At 30 days, two kids are riding her. And she's just, that's what we've got to take, is that mentality of when life gets crazy, stop. This horse would stop and look around and hear my voice. And that's all we've got to do, is stop and hear God's voice. And that's what those cowboys on the Haythorns, those cowboys have their strings of horses and they've got a bond with them because they ride them. They've got miles. They're familiar with the wet saddle blanket, and they're familiar with icicles hanging off their saddle blankets because they ride them. And the only way we get to heaven is if we let God say, let's go every day. It's not an 8-to-5 job. It's not a Sunday job. It's a I'm ready to go job. And that's tough. I need that reminder because I get caught up in wanting to take care of my mares or get better mares or counseling office or getting more hay cuts or how can I make money here? Because making money's fun. But it's not everything. And God says it's okay to make money, or it's okay to raise good horses, or strive to be the best we can if it's God's will. That's something God's been able to bless me with, is I'm able to have some brood mares in a stud and raise some horses, and it's cool. And I have to check myself and say, all right, am I getting too big of my britches, or is God leading me where I need to be? And God wants us to do what we want to do, as long as he's leading the lead rope. So just be ready to go. And I want you to just think today when we leave, is my nose in the halter? Or am I pushing? So, would you pray with me? Dear God, I want to thank you for today, and I just want to thank you for always having room for us in your string of A horses. We're not in the back pen. We're not shoved in the corner. As long as we want to be the broke horse for you, and we want to put our nose in that halter and say, I'm ready. You want us. If it's hot outside, if it's cold outside, it doesn't matter. We don't need to worry about what. We just need to worry about when and now. You want us, because there's going to be people we need to talk about today. There's going to be people that even as A-string horses, we need vet care. We need shod. We need trimmed. We need Coggins. We need wormed. We need cut sealed. And we need cowboys to take care of that. And God will take care of no matter where we're at. And it doesn't matter. God doesn't have 1 through 8, 1 through 10 on the strings. God has number one horses, and he's mine. And I just ask you just to be with every one of our hearts, if we've been a Christian forever or if we're just becoming a Christian today, to strive to have your brand on us and realize you don't go anywhere. You're with us no matter what, through thick and thin, no matter how big a fight, how little a fight, tons of rain, drought, no matter what, you're with us. And I just ask you just to help us just to give to the bit. And for us that need to just give our lives to you and say, all right, I'm done running. I'm done fighting. I'm ready to come home. Come talk to us and help us open our eyes. And also, dear God, help us that have been Christians for it seems like forever. And we just get through, we're plugging down the road. And we need spanked around a little bit and put a little fire in us and realize today's today. And our lifespan's like that 2 or 3 minutes in the cell ring that when the gavel drops, it's over. We don't get to sell again. We don't get to live it again. It's I'm going to the ranch or I'm not. And just help us just to have that urgency when we leave today. We love you. Amen.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com. Or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.